All right, time for the movie retrospective.
Train to Busan.
Yeah, not going too far back. This one, this came out in 2016. Yeah. But we, you know, usually we do older movies, but I wanted...
Zombie classic, though.
We wanted to do this one because new we classic. Both love this movie so much, and it really is an instant classic.
Yeah, this is a new classic. Now, having lived in Korea for a year, you know, this one, I really like this one because, you know, I knew the setting and I knew the culture. Yeah. And, it's called Train to Busan. Busan's the city. It's a city in Korea. In my day, we called it Busan with a P. But P and B are kind of interchangeable in Korean.
You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Busan. Sometimes it was actually spelled Busan on the maps.
But then I'd
hear Katusas call it Busan. And like, well, is it P or is it B? And they're like, yeah, same thing.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Because it's neither a P nor a B in their written language. It could be either. Yeah, but pretty cool movie because it shows the terrain. Everything is a fucking either a valley or a mountain in Korea, and in every one of those valleys is something like trains, you know, train tracks, rice paddies, or towns and factories. And there's nothing in the mountains. That's weird, but you can see it.
Yeah,
you can see it in the movie. Yeah, I climbed over every one of those fucking mountains. Carrying a damn M60. Boy, man, hard work. But what I like about this movie, okay, the tone of this movie, it's, you can tell that the director, which I'm sure you're going to talk about him, what's his name?
Yeon Sang-ho.
Yeah, okay. I have noticed in Korean movies, there's another Korean movie I really like called Musa, or Musa the Warrior.
Yeah.
It's kind of a medieval flick about a bunch of Korean... soldiers back in medieval times get lost in China, and they get, it's kind of like their version of Saving Private Ryan. All kinds of bad shit happens. But Korea, there's not really, because there's mandatory service in Korea, most Korean men have some kind of a military background. And fucking Korean service is tough. You know, they got fucking tough airborne troops, tough special forces, they got tough Marines. So, you know, they were a military dictatorship for a long time, you know what I mean, fighting the North or resisting the North. So when it comes to any of these action movies, there's not an ounce of soy in them. There just isn't. It's a very different situation than, say, Japan. They have a lot of, it looks like a Japanese movie, but you can tell that it was made by guys that have some grit to them. And there's a lot of kind of like warrior virtue built into Korean action movies, and all that plays out in this particular movie. There's a lot of male archetypes showing the strengths and weaknesses of them.
Yeah.
And in this flick, so it's not just a superficial zombie flick. It's a morality tale too, which that's really why I think this is an important movie. Aside from that, it's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's like not only that, like, yes, it does have like social commentary, I guess you would call it. It does have like, you know, hero's journey of all the different characters and stuff. But it's also just a really, really fun action movie. I mean, it's like super fast paced. It's like, you know, it has fast zombies, just kind of like 28 Days Later.
Yeah, It comes out of the zombies for somehow is a virus that comes out of a Korean biotech company.
Yeah,
one of the guys is a hedge fund manager who has something to do with that company too.
Yeah, he's the main character. Yeah, his character's name is Siak Woo.
Yeah.
And he is actually he works for a company that I don't think they actually caused the outbreak, but they had something to do with like funding it or something like that. So they're kind of like sort of responsible.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they really didn't explain what had happened. It just shows a deer getting hit by a car. Deer dying, and then the deer getting up and walking off.
Which is a great opening scene.
Yeah, whatever happened has already, you know, the outbreak has already happened. I guess you kind of let, you know, it's coming from a Korean biotech company. Maybe it's some kind of bioweapon that got out or...
Yeah.
The experiment. So it's never explained. And I like the fact that they didn't explain it.
Yeah, because it doesn't really matter. No. I mean, really what matters is the outcome, like the journey and the outcome.
They let you wonder. And for all we know, maybe there's a prequel or a sequel.
There is a prequel.
There is a prequel? We got to see it.
It's called... And it actually might still be on Netflix. This is on Netflix, too, and it is also on Shudder. So, you know, there's a couple of places you can see it. There is actually a prequel. It's animated, and it's called Soul Station.
Okay.
And it came out only a few months after this, actually.
Okay.
And I believe it's still on Netflix. I just haven't got around to seeing
it. Oh, yeah, see it. Yeah,
right. It might be on Netflix or Shudder. I know I've seen it. But yeah, so it's a prequel to this. So I'm assuming that it explains, and if any of y'all have seen it, I'm assuming that it explains like maybe where the outbreak came from.
You could tell that this director has seen Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Night of the Living Dead callbacks where they're watching television and news, that's a great way of giving the story more scope. That when you got the characters watching TV,
yeah,
that worked. You could also tell that you know they had seen the other ones. Like was it 28 Days Later?
Yeah.
And you could tell that Walking Dead was an influence too. You could see that Walking Dead was a big influence.
It's kind of like I like this because I've seen this movie called Snowpiercer with zombies. It's also kind of like World War Z except good because that movie was not good.
The book was good, but the movie was not a good adaptation. A lot of people shit on World War Z. It wasn't that bad. I enjoyed
it. No, it wasn't terrible. I enjoyed it. Compared to the book, it just really wasn't that good.
Okay, I never read the book. I thought it was a decent movie. That's all I'm going to say about it. It was a decent movie. It had a big scope to the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it spent a whole lot of time on characters. I don't remember any of the damn characters.
That was the issue that I had with it.
Yeah, I don't remember any damn character from it.
And in a way, that's what makes this movie so compelling.
Yeah, it's driven by characters.
It's very character-driven, but like I said, it's not in like a boring, talky scenes kind of way.
No.
The way that they directed it, it's kind of like you just get like a few scenes with each character because it's kind of an ensemble cast, but you get a sense of them like immediately and you start caring about them immediately.
It's a show don't tell movie.
It definitely is.
All right. And it's got the three main characters who are very different from one another kind of drive this story. There are female characters also in this story that drive it, but the focus is on kind of like a hedge fund manager who has everything going for him except he's not a good family man.
Yeah.
And he's not really a hero. Then you got another guy who's kind of like a fucking burly working class guy who's a new father and he's got his pregnant wife and he's just a brawler, all right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have it. He's not a fucking real rich guy. He's like a construction worker type guy.
Yeah.
And he's made his living with his hands. And, you know, he's kind of like, he's actually kind of the Sylvester Stallone character of this movie, I would say. He's a lot like a character a young Stallone would play.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, what do they call him? Captain. We found out that he had a Korean nickname.
Well,
but it's not in the movie.
I don't know if that's in the movie or not.
Captain Business.
When I was looking for photos, like, to put in the video, the name of the photo of his character was Captain Business.
Captain Business.
And I said, if that's not what his name was, that's what I'm going to call him.
Captain Business is this asshole up in the train in his 60s who's a fucking, he's a big businessman, right?
Yeah.
But he's fucking highly manipulative and he doesn't give a shit. He's really only just trying to save himself.
Yeah, he's trying to save his own
ass. And I don't know if I should spoil it in case you guys haven't seen Train to Busan, but this dude lives up to the fucking title of a different kind of asshole.
Yeah.
He's a very different kind of asshole. But when you know it when you see it. You know this kind of guy when you see it. And in the end, his true nature is revealed. In his final moments, you find out what drives this kind of dude.
Yeah.
Who will do anything to stay alive and who thinks he's better than everybody else.
He's a great villain. Obviously, you have all the zombies. Yeah. That's the villain. But he is like a great villain in this because he is just like so easy to hate. He's just such a douche.
And the thing is, he's not unrealistic.
And it's not an unrealistic douche. It's a realistic douche.
All the acting is very good in this movie. It's all very good acting. And I could feel the Korean-ness from all these characters because living in Korea, I knew people like this. You'd run into them in a train, or you'd serve with them in the army. We had Katusa serving with us when you deal with Rock Army soldiers because they're in here too. They're not. I didn't see any Katusas, but there's a lot of Rock Army guys in it.
Yeah,
and that's how they are.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I have to say too that it's like, Korea kills it with these type of movies, man.
Yeah.
You didn't see I Saw the Devil, did you?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, shit.
I gotta see it.
And I was talking about it with somebody on YouTube in the comments. I was like, that is for real one of the best movies of any genre that I have ever seen ever.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm telling you, the reason why is because the cultural situation. I like the Japanese, and you know, I like Japanese products. And the thing is that the upbringing in Japan and the upbringing in China, by American standards, is for the guys, is kind of milk toasty, but not in Korea. It shows it. They're a little milk toasty, but not. But they're forced to be soldiers. A lot of them at an early age. You know, Korea, although it is an advanced country today, during the time I was there, it was still a developing nation, and it was tough. So a lot of those guys are still around.
Yeah,
this is before K-pop, where they're wearing makeup and all that shit. That didn't. Most of the guys who are running around Korea right now are not of that generation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're my generation, so they're tough.
Yeah,
especially for that part of the world, because you know they tend to pamper men. You know, in that part of the world, a lot of people don't know it, but the sons are kind of like raised as little princes and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the girls are doing all the hard work, really. Yeah. Yeah, they're like grooming the boy to go to college and shit, so he's, you know, silver spoon in his mouth and shit. That's kind of, and that is actually discussed in this movie, because there's some of that has always gone on even in Korea.
Yeah. Know?
The Korean rich boy is going to come up a little bit different, of course, than a Korean working class guy, and that's kind of what they show in the movie.
Although, still like I said, the thing though. About it, I mean, okay, so... I mean, at the center of the movie, the hedge fund manager, Siak Woo, like, he's kind of, like, the main character.
Yeah.
And his whole central conflict is, like you said, he's, you know, a high-up businessman. He's divorced from his wife, so he's presumably moved back in with his mother. And he has a daughter named Suwon.
Yeah.
And he's not, like, the greatest dad. Like, he's trying to, like, just, like, buy her love, but he doesn't really... You know, he's at the beginning, like, he missed her singing recital, and she messed up because he wasn't there, and she was crying, and...
He's kind of a superficial yuppie. He's not He's not into that shit.
And he brings her, like, a Nintendo Wii, even though she already had one, and he had actually given it to her, like, you know, prior, and he had forgotten all about it. So he brings her another one for her birthday. So the whole thing that sets the thing in motion is that for her birthday, she wants to go see her mom in Busan, because they were in Seoul. And, so he doesn't want to take her, and it's, like, this big deal. But then finally he feels bad about missing her thing and everything. Yeah. So he's like, okay, fine, I will take you on the train. And so they get on the train. And the cool thing about it is that, you know, you're with these people on the train. So at first they don't really know what's going on. Because, like, some of them, like, have phones and they have the news. But it's like, when the news is on, you can tell that they're trying to, like, keep everyone calm.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a riot.
So they're saying, oh, there's a riot, or there's like a, you know, they're just saying things like that. No need to panic and all
the
this
old
other
ladies
kind of shit.
The old ladies are like, oh, look at them. They're so rude and ill-behaved. You know? We never used to put up with that kind of behavior.
Yeah, she's like, you know, back then they would have been re-educated.
And the main guy, and I get their names all confused because they actually don't use their names much in the movie.
Not much, because they don't really know each other.
Yeah, and then in Korean, the names are backwards. The last name comes first, and then there's the other name.
Most Asian countries.
So the way and they say it backwards, and then the subtitles are the other way around. So you're like, he didn't say that. Well,
yeah,
Senator, it's backwards. You'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, his character flaw is that he's selfish. He won't.
Yeah.
He won't sacrifice anything for anybody else, especially not his family.
Yeah.
He just won't sacrifice anything.
And, I mean, his daughter, like, calls him out on that pretty much. She's like, that's why mom left.
Right.
Which is probably true.
Right.
Because he's yelling at her daughter because she gives, like, an old lady her seat.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, you should just look out for yourself and all this other kind of stuff and shit. And then she just tells him that he sucks.
And then the other big character is exactly the opposite. The working class guy, he's ready to sacrifice everything for his family. You know, and it goes to just...
He's the best character.
He's
honestly.
Actually the best character. I'd like to see more movies with him in there.
He's in a bunch of movies. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of other movies.
He kind of had, to me, he had the same charisma as like a Sylvester Stallone type character or actor, like a Sylvester Stallone type actor. He's like somebody you put in an action movie.
He's like, the cool thing about his character, like I said, him and his wife, he's like, he doesn't need to learn. He is good-hearted from the beginning.
Yeah, it's just natural to him.
And it's, you know, so it comes naturally to him. Whereas, you know, Siak Woo is more like, you know, this tragedy, like, kind of makes him learn.
Yeah, he has to become that way.
That you have to be more like that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you have, a man has to fucking come face-to-face with sacrifice, self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, self-sacrifice is what it is to be a family man, basically.
Yeah, and not just saving families, but saving other people on the train. Yeah, other people and stuff. Because it gets to a point where... Because like I said, because the train, it's a bullet train, and it's, I think it's from Seoul to Busan, I think I read that it was like 280 miles or something like that. So they're on this train, and as I said, they're going, and they're not entirely sure what's going on. So it's like when they stop at this one station, and there's nobody there, and it's like super weird. So they get off, and they, you know, because the driver's like, well, we're not really sure what's going on. We're not getting like any feedback from like any of the stations up ahead. So it's like when they stop at this one, and it seems deserted, and so they're gonna go try to get on another train, but then it turns out that the whole fucking thing is like full of zombies.
Another cool character in this movie is the damn train. That is the train engineer.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a whole lot of lines.
A screen time. Yeah,
but he's if you've ever seen Dr. Strangelove, he kind of reminds me of Slim Pickens in Dr. Strangelove, who was the captain of the B-52 that by hell or high water is going to drop that atomic bomb on one of these damn targets. And he's the guy, and he leads the crew to just go above and beyond. You know, he's got all the Soviet Air Force and all the American Air Force trying to stop this bomber that's been accidentally ordered to drop his atomic bombs. And this guy's just making it through, like, you know... through huge odds, you know, and he still makes it. That's the way this train engineer, he's gonna get to Busan
because he has taken personal responsibility for all the people on his train, you know what I mean. And then you also have, we forgot to mention the homeless guy who is that's what I mean. It's like he looks kind of like, you know, he's kind of dirty and grubby and stuff like that, so you know, people look at him askance, and I think,
and
like
he's the first one that knows that something's wrong.
Yeah, because he gets on the train saying, like, they're all dead, they're all dead. You know, but nobody listens to him because they said, he looks like a bum or whatever.
Yeah, and they all treat him like shit. It's
but
in the end, he proves his worth, you know what I mean, that he was a good person, you know, just...
That's what I mean. It's like, the thing about it is, like, the character development in this is so good. And like I said, they don't spend a huge amount of time on it because it's an ensemble cast. You have those four main guys. You have, like, a whole subplot with, like, a whole baseball team and, like, you know, this girl that's the cheerleader them. That's, you know, that one of them is, you know, kind of going out with.
Yeah,
so they have that.
He's embarrassed that he's got a girlfriend, which is, that's just a totally, that's a totally Korean thing where... The boys have to appear to be a virgin until they're married. That's some weird shit.
They just have to appear to be. They don't have to actually be.
Yeah,
and then they have the two. Then they have the two old ladies that are sisters.
Yeah,
and then there's like a bunch of other like.
Yeah, there's a bunch of female values being shown in the movie too about sisterhood and you know what I mean. And kind of sticking together. There's a bunch, you know, there's a bunch of good stuff.
I think the main theme of the movie is selflessness.
Yeah,
that you know what I mean. And I think
even the cheerleader girl was doing acts of bravery.
Yeah, because everybody kind of said, I mean, other than that one asshole.
Yeah, Captain Business.
Pretty much everybody, Captain Business.
Captain Business.
And some of the other assholes, like, in the first class carriage, because they didn't want to let, like, anybody, because that's the
typical
train.
It was typical shit, because Captain Business also had a bunch of suck-asses who were coming up on it, because they wanted to live, too.
Like
that's
I
right,
said.
Listen to Captain Business.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see.
So that was, like, a whole, and like I said, you know, there's a lot of horror movies where it's, like, you know, in a confined space, and there's, like, all this bad shit happening, but the reason there's a lot of horror movies like that is because it's really effective.
Yeah.
And because this train is like kind of flying through, they don't know, they can't stop anywhere because like the other stations are overrun. So they're trying to get through to Busan because somebody somewhere heard that maybe the military was there and maybe it would be okay.
It'd be safe in Busan.
But, you know, somebody, like this one girl, like stumbles on the train, and once she starts biting people, because like I said, these are fast moving zombies.
Yeah.
So each carriage is getting slowly like taken over by the zombies. And so they're all like kind of like running toward the first class carriage, like to get away from the zombies as the zombies like are catching up to them, like in the back carriages. You know what I mean?
There's just a bunch of stuff breaks out, a bunch of commentary about Korean society. Like Captain Business, in order to save himself, actually starts taking charge of most of the damn train.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of social commentary that your average Korean is so class oriented that they fall right in line listening to Captain Business.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of lieutenants start, you know, basically backing Captain Business up all to preserve themselves.
Yeah.
Because Korea is a male-dominated society. It's very class-structured. It's very top-down. So it's a class-based society. And that movie kind of pokes fun at it, at that.
Yeah, because this is definitely an anti-authoritarian sort of movie.
Because the movie comes out and says, these dumbass robots followed this guy.
Yeah.
You know, now some of the smart characters didn't go with the pack. They were like, oh, no, I see what that is.
That's what I mean. Yeah. All the good guys kind of like ended up being against that guy. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Because, and in a way, like, all the people that went along with Captain Business, they do end up getting, like, punished for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the moral of that story was, is that just blindly following a leader because he's successful doesn't necessarily mean he's out for your well-being.
Because that dude clearly wasn't.
No, he didn't give a shit.
He just wanted, like, people backing him up so he could, like, lock everybody else out.
So he could get safe.
And not help them.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So, and he was directly responsible for a bunch of other people getting killed just because of his asshole.
And you're like, why is this guy such an asshole? And in the very end, you find out who he truly is.
Although I still didn't feel bad for him.
No.
I was like, well, that doesn't excuse it. Sorry.
Right, yeah. No. But that was the force that was driving him.
Yeah.
He had regressed.
It was understandable.
Right, yeah.
But I still didn't, like, feel bad for him. Like,
What the story is saying is that he was so spiritually immature that he could never do an act of selflessness.
Yeah.
Because he was infantile.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually, that's a good way of looking at it.
Maturity is about saying, fuck it, I'm ready to die.
Yeah.
For these people. You know, and that's... Yeah. That's what they were taught.
That's what was lauded in this. I mean, and they were pretty blatant about it too. Because, like I said, I mean, the whole main plot with, like, you know, hedge fund manager and his daughter Su-on, and I mean, she basically says straight up to his face that his selfishness was why his wife left.
Korea is a Christian country. That's kind of its official religion. All right, but it also has a lot of Buddhist influence. And there's a lot of Buddhist influence in this story. So, the two could actually kind of merge. Because Buddhism,
that's true.
Buddhism is more of a philosophy than it is a religion. You know?
Yeah.
I would say Buddhism is a religion. I mean, Buddhism is a philosophy. Yeah. That became a religion.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think the people that are really into Buddhism know that the tales inside Buddhism are examples.
Yeah.
They're not of actually historically accurate. You know, it's not stuff that actually happened. It's examples.
But yeah, I mean, you can definitely tell that the whole point of this movie was that, you know, helping others is like, you know, or even up to sacrificing yourself for others is kind of like the highest virtue.
Yeah. We're all going to die anyway. Yeah. That's the way Buddhism would look at
it. Well, and a lot of people did because it's like it's a zombie apocalypse.
Right. Well, all going to die anyway, and the human lifespan isn't very long.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So you have to be ready and willing to give up your life for certain things that are greater than you.
Yeah.
And that's the moral behind it.
Yeah. And I was going to say, too, that this is one of the only horror movies I've ever seen where I actually kind of cried at the end.
It's good.
It was a really sad ending, like a really, like, emotionally affecting ending. And the only reason that it had that effect was because you gave a shit about the characters.
Yeah.
Like, when a character you, like, died, it was upsetting.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? A lot of movies don't have that.
You could make a whole trilogy of movies like these.
I heard that they might make a sequel, like...
I hope so.
I think...
Gotta be the same director and the same writers, man.
Yeah,
gotta be the same type of script.
I heard that James Wan was maybe gonna do an English language version, but I was like, I don't really care about that. I don't like when they do, like, American remakes of Asian films, not necessarily. Yeah. Some of them are good, obviously.
Well, it's just a way of picking up some extra bucks off of some shit that's already done, and maybe they spin it a little bit differently. I'd like to see the same director go ahead and go one step further. What happened to Busan?
Yeah.
Once they got to Busan, what happened?
Yeah.
Because it was never really resolved.
It's
to get to Busan.
Yeah.
But what happens then? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, because it's not, and it wasn't over. The outbreak.
Yeah, because
was still
you
around.
Didn't know. I don't necessarily want to spoil the end because this movie is not that
old. Did it become a worldwide pandemic? I'm sure it probably
right.
It
seemed like it was very widespread. I mean, it was at least throughout Korea.
You got U.S. soldiers coming and going from that country all day long. So that means that disease would have spread right to the United States eventually.
Because it's like 28 days later disease. Yeah. It spreads super fast. Like, as soon as somebody is bitten, like, only minutes later, they start, like, contorting and...
Yeah, and it doesn't... And Well, if you get bitten, you die in turn.
Yeah.
But that deer wasn't infected, got hit and turned. So I think it might be kind of like Walking Dead. Everybody has it. And when they die...
And then when they die...
They turn. Yeah. And maybe getting bitten is enough to kill you pretty quickly. They might be carrying some kind of a, you know, pretty contagious or, you know, highly... Yeah. You know, highly poisonous fucking bacteria or virus or something, you know what I mean? Because, I don't know. Because I don't think that deer was a zombie, was it? When it got
hit.
Well,
I don't know, because he just hit it. I mean, the guy was just coming back and he just, like, hit it with the car.
Yeah, it was a zombie. I think it was a zombie, and then it got hit and it got back up anyway, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think it was a zombie.
But yeah, so, like I said, I've heard that they're making a sequel. I think it's called Bando or Bondo or something like that.
And that's the James Wan one?
No. Okay. James Wan was doing a version of this, but in English language. But I don't know if that fell through or not, because they've been talking about that for a couple years. Now, as I said, there was a prequel to this, which is animated, called Soul Station, which I haven't got around to seeing yet, but, we'll probably need to see that. So they might have, they might have gone into that issue.
Yeah.
But again, this movie, actually, for a while, I think it set, a lot of records. It's, the highest grossing movie in, several Asian countries, and it was Malaysia.
Oh, then they'll make another one.
And so, yeah, stuff like that. So it made, a $93 million, something that, which is, a big deal for...
For a Korean movie?
For a Korean movie.
Shit, yeah.
And, I mean, the reviews of this, pretty much everybody I know that has seen this movie loves this fucking movie. How can you not love this fucking movie?
It's a good movie.
I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, 95%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got, huge... And rightfully so, because, like I said, not only does it have great acting, great characters that you really get invested in, you actually care when something bad happens to them, you know, the ending of it is, really affecting and really upsetting, but it's also, just a fun... it never stops. I mean, because this train is going and it's everybody's turning into zombies. There's waves of zombies. There's zombies hanging onto the back of a train, being dragged and shit like that. It's great.
And the movie was, you could tell that it was influenced a lot by, you know, the American zombie movies.
Yeah.
But the movie didn't sell out. It's still a Korean movie.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of Korean sensibilities and a bunch of Korean culture in there. But the way it's shot is it's shot like a really good Western movie.
Yeah.
Really good Korean, or a really good Hollywood type movie. And actually, not one of these new tentpole Hollywood movies. It's actually shot kind of like a really cool independent film movie.
Yeah.
That's what I think it's shot like. Almost kind of retro, but you know how some of the retro stuff is so good now, you know what I mean? It's almost, because the storytelling back in the 90s was kind of coherent, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's all over the place. This shit's very coherent.
Like I said, it's very straightforward. Yeah, it's a very straightforward story. It's very simple. Like I said, it's basically just zombies on a train.
Yeah.
And the train just keeps moving, and the zombies, they just keep building up in the carriages, and the people are just basically trying to get away from them.
You said there might be a sequel.
Yeah.
Any word on it?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying they've been talking about...
All right.
You know, the same director said that he's been working on a sequel.
Good.
So, we'll see. It wouldn't shock me if there was one, because, like I said, this was a massively successful. It's easily one of the, if not the most successful Korean movie.
You'd be kicking yourself in the nuts if you didn't make a sequel.
Well, yeah, I mean, shit, they make sequels to, shit that wasn't even that successful.
Yeah, and it's been years, so that means they're not rushing it.
Yeah.
Which, that's a good sign.
Well, it's only, this came out in 2016. I think it first premiered at the Cannes Festival, and then it had a theatrical run. I don't think it had a theatrical run here. It had a theatrical run all over Asia, and made a lot of money there. Might have had a brief theatrical run here, so maybe
movie like
New York,
this,
LA,
you know, you're probably like a 4-year break in between the two. That'd be perfect amount of time.
Yeah, that's probably
you got. It takes a couple years to make the movie.
But yeah, so I mean, this is very easy to find. Like I said, it's still on Netflix. As I think Soul Station is on there as well. Shudder just added it a couple months ago too. So if you have Shudder and not Netflix, you can watch it on there too. And I think Amazon Prime and shit like that. But like I said, you know. Believe the hype, because a lot of people have said about it. I mean, shit, even Edgar Wright, the guy that made Shaun of the Dead, he was just this is the best zombie movie I've ever seen, or one of the best zombie movies I've ever seen. And it really is. I mean,
he understands the genre.
It's easily top 10, top 5 even zombie movies, because there's a lot of shitty ones out there.
Yeah.
You know, seriously, because so much of it's been...
No, this one's got soul, man. This movie's got soul.
Yeah, but this one is super great, and it's all just down to... The characters and
the writing.
The pace of it. It's just really, really awesome. And it's all some of the gags,
The gags are really good.
Are really, really good.
The zombie carpet.
Yeah, right? It's
train's
fucking
going
great.
And there's a whole carpet of damn zombies all trying to climb onto the back. That was a good one. Zombie wave breaking through the glass doors.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
just hilarious. It's like, you know, when they're coming through the carriage, they're all like so excited. They're trying to climb over top of each other. So it's just like these, just like fucking waves of zombies, like people crawling over and crawling.
There's no real way to lock the damn doors in the train cars. So you constantly have to hold the train doors closed. There's a sliding door. Bunch of problems with that.
It's just like this whole...
This whole series of problems
that they're trying to figure out, like, you know, kind of on the fly, you know.
Yeah, and then once you lock yourself into a train bathroom full of zombies, how the hell do you get out?
Yeah, because there's just there's more and more of them, you know what I mean? Because there's like hundreds and hundreds of people on this train, and like they're slowly turning into zombies, like one by one. But yeah, but seriously, if you have not seen this movie, see this movie. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, which you know, because we don't usually do ones this new on retrospective, but we just made an exception this time around just because...
Some of them you just gotta go see them.
Yeah, and this is just because we love this movie so much. So seriously, go to Netflix, go to Shudder, and check it out. You will love it, I promise. We will see you next time. Bye.